tonight's shiur as usual. Tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, shiur as usual. Next week, obviously, no shiur over the Rosh Hashanah days. I think some Gedalia, historically, we didn't. I think that normally there is no shiur and some Gedalia. So I remember, could that be, yeah? Yeah. There will be a text coming out, but I think that's... Do you remember how I was in the past? I think some Gedalia, I don't think... some Gedalia, I don't think there's a shiur. I don't know. Yeah, I think so there's no shiur. No shiur on some Gedalia. And then Mitzvah Hashem, the... Okay, you'll get a text. There will be a text to Mitzvah Hashem. Okay. Right, so we have covered many important halachas with regards to Hilchos Tefillin. There's still a bit more to come. And Siman Lamed Tes tells us about a fascinating new concept that we never spoke about with regards to an additional halach with regards to the writing of the Tefillin and Ne'emonos. Let us see what the Shulchan Aruch says over here in Seif Aleph. It's an additional, it really boils down to have an additional psul with regards to writing the Tefillin, Mezuzahs, and Sefer Torah. Simon Lametes Seif Aleph. Miheim, who are Haksherim, people who are kosher, Lichtov to write Tefillin, Ve'liknois mehem, and you can buy of them. Not everybody who can actually physically write the Tefillin is necessarily a person you can buy Tefillin of him. Sometimes you can have Tefillin, Mezuzahs and Sefer Torah, which may look beautiful, but they are posel. And this is the halach we're going to be seeing now. Tefillin shekosvon. Tefillin that were written. Evet. So it could be beautiful. I'm talking about beautiful letters. Every letter in its most beautiful hiddo. Remember we learned loads of halachas with regards to the tzuras ha'oisiyas, the shape of the letters. Beautiful shaped letters. Everything halachically at its perfection. But if they're written by an evet, a slave, or Oy Isha, or the Tefillin was written by a woman, Oy Koton, or by a minor, by a child, Afilu even Higia Lechinuch, he's reached Chinuch. Remember we spoke about Machloike Shulchan Aruch Ramah. Ramah says we only put on Tefillin just before Bar Mitzvah, that's generally the Minhag. We put on the Tefillin just before Bar Mitzvah, but say he's able to write Tefillin at an earlier age. And it says the Shulchan Aruch, Cotton, a child, afilu igia lechinuch, is tefillin are going to be possible. Beautiful letters. Again, everything halachically, perfect, absolutely perfection. But his tefillin are going to be possible. Oi, or another example, kusi, a kusi. Now we know the kusi nation, initially, there were geire arois, the Gemara discusses in numerous places, mishnayos and brachos as well. At one point, kusim, the nation of kush, they became geirim. But we weren't sure for many doiras. Yidden weren't sure, Bezdin wasn't sure as to whether they geirim aroyos or they were genuine geirim. They did become geirim because there was an incidence of lions. We know in Eretz Yisrael there used to be lions in the times of the Mishnayos. There used to be lions coming in. They ate people and they got really scared. And then they became geirim. But we don't know if they became geirim, genuinely became geirim because they really wanted to believe and they really believed in Hashem and they realized that it's really Hashem who runs the world. And therefore the geirus is a proper geirus. Or maybe they only became geirim because of the fear of the lions. And they realized that if we become geirim, we are safe of lions. And they are hence called geirei aroyos. And we know the Gemara discusses at numerous places as to whether kusim are geirei aroyos or not. Are they merely geirim because of lions or not? And the Gemara discussed, the maskon of the Gemara was, that eventually they found they had a certain temple. And they went to the temple, secretly they went to the temple. And they served Avodah Zorah hiddenly, and therefore it turned out that really they were certainly gay arois, and that they weren't genuine gayrim. But it was an ancient kusim, and I understand that even some kusim nowadays, 2015, there are some kusim around, and they keep some sort of something, and they are, to this very day, they are. It's interesting that sometimes the censors, in Shulchan Aruch, you find that in quite a few places, that when it comes to Oivdei Kerechovim, because of censor reasons, in some places, due to some censor restrictions, that the Shulchan Aruch wasn't allowed to write Ovdei Kerechovim. The printers weren't allowed to write Ovdei Kerechovim when it came to some halachas, and therefore they would often replace the word Ovdei Kerechovim to Kusim. So historically, when you look at many Shulchan Aruch, and it's now many of the editions, they try to rectify this, but historically, many times in Shulchan Aruch, when you see the word kusi, even sometimes in Shas, but mainly in Shulchan Aruch, when the word kusi appears, it doesn't necessarily refer to that nation of the kusim. They had to just change the word Ovdei Kechovim, Goyim, they had to change that into something a bit more politically correct. And they use the word kusim, which is a foreign nation. So that's just about the word kusi. But fine. So oy kusi, if it's written as Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah is written by kusi, it's going to be posul oy. And now we carry on. Or mumma l'avodas gilulim. You have a mumma l'avodas kechovim. What is a mumma l'avodas kechovim? The mumma is that a mumma is somebody who's actually a yid. Is actually a yid. However, he fails to perform one specific mitzvah. His mumma, he doesn't keep one specific mitzvah. He picked one mitzvah, he says, that one I don't like. So that mitzvah he doesn't keep, he's actually a mumma l'avodas kechovim. He actually may keep some mitzvahs, but it does serve avodah zarah. Well, then it's actually, he serves avodah zarah. Certainly, he's not going to become, his tefillin are not going to be kosher tefillin. So if he's mumma l'avodas gilulim, somebody who serves avodah kechovim, even if he's eat, his tefillin are posul. Oy! Alternative, that's a really interesting one. Moisa la'anosim. Moisa la'anosim is somebody who's an informer. Somebody who goes to Goyim and he says, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, not so relevant anymore. But in the previous generation, somebody would go up to the authorities and inform about a yid. You know, he keeps mitzvah, so it is so and so, or he did that and that, or he does that and that, and therefore gets the yid into trouble. An informer. And Moisa Anosim is that kind of person. Somebody who betrays and he tells Yidin, gives Yidin to authorities. That's because of Mumla Anosim. And that person, the Moisa Anosim is actually posel. Why is that? Why are all those people posel? I understand they're all not very nice people. I understand. I mean, well, some of them are. But Cotton and Isha, I suppose, nothing wrong with it. But what's wrong with all that? What's wrong with Evet, Isha, Cotton, Kusi, Mumma, Moisa, what's wrong with them? Says Shulchan Aruch, posul, all that tefillin is posul. Why is that? Mishum deksev, because it says in the posuk, ukshar tom, ukhsav tom. Ukshar tom, meaning you should tie. When it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin, you should tie it around you. Kshira, you should tie it around you. Ukhsav tom, and you write. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch learns, kol she'eino bekshira, whoever does not tie, Oy ein maimin ba, who doesn't believe in it, in mitzvah tefillin, ein bechsiva is not included in the writing. So again, ukshartom, ukhsaftom. Chartom being connected to the kshira, the tying being connected to the writing. Ukshartom, ukhsaftom. If you are within the kshira, if you are a kind of person that does kshira, meaning you put on tefillin, then you can write the tefillin. However, if you're the kind of person that you're not connected at all to the kshira, you don't do a kshira, then you can't actually do the ksiv, you can't write the sefer Torah. Consequently, an Isha is not obligated in putting on tefillin. So since she's not obligated, she's not part of kshira, she can't tie the tefillin, therefore she can't ksiv it, she can't do the writing. And similarly, a cotton is not really obligated, in kshira. Since he's not obligated in kshira, he is not allowed to do a ksiva. His tefillin are going to be possible. He can't write tefillin. He can't put them on. He can't write them. If he's not obligated to put them on, his ksiva is he can't write them. Similarly, a kusi and a goy, they're all people that don't do the kshira. If you don't do the kshira, you don't do the ksiva. Yeah. That's such an amazing point, what you're saying. That is absolutely amazing. I saw that today. I was amazed by this goyness, but I should have spoken to you before that. I saw the poskim today. I saw that's really amazing. It's very, very, it's an unbelievable point. It's really a fascinating point. It's an unbelievable point. We're learning that a person who writes the Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, he needs to be a bar Loshna Gemara. He needs to be a bar kshira. He needs to be a person who puts on tefillin. And if he doesn't put on tefillin, whether he's a woman or a lady who doesn't keep mitzvahs, whatever the reason is, if he's not a bar kshira, his ksiva is posel. Ask Mr. Berlin a beautiful question. He said, well, Now, most of us buying tefillin from regular sofa, it's fine, regular sofa, is put on tefillin, that's fine. But however, we all know, the Minhag Yisrael, an ancient Minhag Yisrael, that the end of the Sefer Torah is written letter by letter by people that buy, you can buy letters of the Sefer Torah. Either because you're a person being honored, or you buy the letters, and it's not necessarily a sofer writing the letter. Raises Mr. Berlin a beautiful question. He says, well, if the people writing the letters are Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, no problem at all. But occasionally you'll find somebody needs to be honored because he gave lots of money or a big donation or he's a relative, whatever the reason may be. You may have somebody writing a letter who may not necessarily be a bar kshira. Maybe he's the kind of person who doesn't put on tefillin. Is that a problem, yes or no? Shlichas. Very. Is that really so? Is that completely like that?
Hold the sofa's arm, right?
That's interesting. Very interesting. Okay, let's hear this.
When I was in yeshiva, we all walked into two panamiras. We took the actual quilt, and we actually filled in the letters.
And you actually filled in the letters. Filling in the letters, meaning?
It was like the outline of the letters.
Outline was there. Very good. So the Emma says, I want to point out that you're 100% right. You're 100% right. The poskim, and I saw it today for the first, I wasn't aware of it. Poskim do say you need to watch it. You taka need to watch it. Because really, a person who's who is eino bar kshira, if somebody's taka doesn't put on tefillin, as one of the people mentioned over here, he's a mumal avetz kechavim, he doesn't keep toy, he doesn't keep me, he's a mumal achs, we're going to see more details in Mishneh Berurah. If he's that kind of person and he's not a bar kshira, yes, it is a problem. He can't write the last letter of Sefer. It's like a problem. However, the truth is that occasionally, on a practical term, it's not going to be a problem. Why is that? Because often you're going to have a sofer either leading his hand or just making him fill in the last bits and pieces. Which then, if that's the case, often the letter actually is considered a kosher letter before that. He's just filling in the blank, filling in the ink, filling in the last. That one could argue that it's already a kosher letter. And often they'll ensure that it is a kosher letter before and he can't actually mess it up. And consequently, he won't actually mess it up, and it's going to be a kosher sefer Torah, even if he's an bar kshira. But that's a very valid point, and I need to keep that in mind. Very interesting point. But let us identify exactly who are those people exactly are considered the bar kshira. Let us see what Mishneh Berurah says in Sefkotn Aleph. Tefillin says the Mishneh Berurah in Sefkotn Aleph. It's not only referring to tefillin. Vuhadin similarly sefer Torah. It's also the word sefer Torah. Mezuzah and also mezuzah. Oy isha. Sifkotn base, a woman, who are then similarly also tumtum vadriganus, this is sofek isha, sofek ish, the gahem gankem, the hem bichtal sofek isha, if they're not sure. As with an isha, the aloch is as well, apostle, they're not considered bakshira. Sifkotn gimel mishnibur oi cotton, a child, the kevenen since the alfinan mikra. Since we learn it from a pasuk, be'inon we need. She a dafka godel mama. She needs to be an absolutely mature adult. Just the fact that he's 13 is not good enough. Im hevishte tehainu ay ish hevishte sayres. He must have bought two sayres already. Achshu ben yid gimel shana. The fact that he's 13 years old is not sufficient. He needs to have bought two sayres. Avol im sofeg lonu. But if you're not sure, im hevishte sayres. If you're unsure, pasul lichtov is going to be pasul to write. We need to know for a fact that he has matured physically. Im lo shen yismal zekonoi, unless he's got a beard already, you can see that he's definitely matured. And then he's okay to write a sefer Torah for the mezuzas. Otherwise, it's a problem. Safe cotton, hey oy kusi, ken tzarich loyma, says the Mishneh Berurah in the bottom. It's ken tzarich loyma to ovid gedulim belav achi pasul. And he's referring to what I mentioned earlier that often editions of the Shulchan Aruch had the word Oivet kichovim instead of kusi. So the Mishneh Berurah rectified it. He said, oh, he definitely does mean kusi. He said, because a guy in Oivet kichovim, nothing to talk about. Oivet gelulim belav hachi posul. Oivet gelulim is anyway posul, nothing to talk about. Shein kusi lishma, because it doesn't write lishma. So there's nothing to talk about. The Shulchan Aruch is not addressing a guy. A guy certainly can't write sefer Torah mezuzah. There's nothing to talk about because he's lacking lishma and other reasons as well. We're not addressing that. We're talking about over here Kutsi Mamash, there's more, they're closer to a Yid than a regular Goy. Okay, Mishnah Buah Sifkot and Vav is a very critical Mishnah Buah, because Sifkot Mishnah Buah is going to address exactly when is somebody considered a Mumma. And we need to know this actually has got many halachic knock-ons and ramifications. Because you want to know, we all know the concept of a Mumma Lehachis and Mumma Lete'ovoin. What is the difference between a Mumma Lehachis and Mumma Lete'ovoin? A mumma lehachis, a mumma means somebody who doesn't keep Torah. But it's two types of people who don't keep Torah. What is the difference? What are the two kinds of categories? Very good. The mumma lehachis. The people who are just rebelling. Rebelling shlo elam nebuch. Chmon elitzlan, mumma lehachis. They do it lehachis, meaning with anger. They're rebelling the ribon shlo elam. That's mumma lehachis. That's one category. Then there's another, which is most yidden out there, who nebuch don't keep Torah mitzvahs. They are considered mumma leteovon. Teovon literally meaning appetite. They're just doing things because of pure laziness. Laziness. Mumma leteovon. Laziness. So now we need to know.
Tinek shenishba as well.
Right. A tinek shenishba. Yes, that's right. A tinek shenishba is actually a third category. Because a tinek shenishba, the Rambam, and the Sadechaz Nishla, the tinek shenishba is literally, tinuk shenishba is a tinuk, a baby shenishba, who was captured, and he was taken away, and he was brought up in a completely non-Jewish surrounding, not knowing anything. A tinuk shenishba, a baby was captured. There we learn a tinuk shenishba is actually is not considered, is actually in many ways is considered beyond the level even of a shoygeik. And he's on a very lenient, very, very leniently, is judged very, very leniently, extremely leniently, because he doesn't know any better. He was brought up by Goyim. How could he have known about anything he was brought up? So that's actually a very lenient category, very lenient category. Chaznish writes, the motion the poskim addressed nowadays, many of the Yidin out there, who had absolutely no chinuch whatsoever. He had, Chaznish writes about it beautifully, how they are considered tinuk shenishba now. There's many people out there. I do not know. It's a topic on its own about Tinek Shenishba. They don't know anything about it. Chaznish writes beautiful in Tzilcha Shchitas in Aleph. He writes about the importance of asking from Yidden how we need to go towards the Tinek Shenishba. But a voice says with ropes of love. Chaznish writes how we need to embrace them and how we can't distance ourselves from them and how the importance of being understanding and good to our tinuk shenishba. I must say that it's under the very modern poskim, I'm really going a little bit out of topic because of, in the point I mentioned, the very, very modern poskim raised the issue as to whether a person nowadays brought up in metropolitan areas like London or people in New York or where there's really a lot of Yidden, the very contemporary poskim raised the point as to whether they are really somebody who's brought up without chinuch at all, can he really be considered a tinuk shenishba? It's a very valid point, a very interesting question. And what do you think about this? Imagine that. I mean, I understand somebody who lines up in Timbuktu and in Zimbabwe and he's there for 20 years before the first time he sees a Yid. Then I can understand that's a genuine tinuk shenishba. I can understand that. There's an argument, however, to say, and I don't know what you think about it, Zaboisai. Somebody, however non-formi is, and he didn't go to any tashbaz and any tumimas and any menorahs, and then I'm looking around, and any pardon. He was brought up in a, he didn't go, but he was living in London, where there is how many Yidden in London?
350,000.
Okay, 350,000. There you go. Right. So that's. Yeah, 350,001. So the question then is, and it's an interesting point, it is, you're surrounded really by Yidden. There's always, as long as he knows that he's a Yid, he must have asked for once that building, and that's actually a Jewish synagogue. So there is do you hear that a bit? So there's a bit of an argument to say that Tinuk Shenishba nowadays, and also with the media, mustn't forget the amount of mass media nowadays. Is there ever a day that the Jews are not in the media? The Jews are not in the media. Is there such a thing at all? If you ever open up, heard or see that the Yidden are forever in the media. So it's a bit hard. It's a bit harder to. What do you think about this?
It's as if. It's never that they were Tinuk Shenishba, because as if they are Tinuk Shenishba.
Right, but halachically makes actually a very big difference. Because the Tinoch Shenishba is very, very lenient with regards to counting him to a minyan, with regards to his wine being Yain Nesach, with regards to... There's many halachas, his shchita, there's many halachas with regards to the Tinoch Shenishba.
Has that really changed that much since the time of the Chaznish? Obviously, media...
Yeah, probably. Yeah, one could argue that he has. Chaznish was Nifta some, well, over 50 years ago now. Over 60 years ago. And what is a different world. It wasn't around 60 years ago, but... Yeah, you're saying that it hasn't changed that dramatically. Yeah?
So somebody's brought up in Timbuktu by going, at least he's going to have, you know, an open mind towards him. Not necessarily.
Now, there's over here, he's already finished before he starts.
If you grew up not from London, you mean the JC, and, you know, you see all those black catters walking around being rude to people, then you have absolutely no chance whatsoever. The chinuch is so negative, any kind, because they're brought up by the one world, not believing in God, not believing in anything, and they're ridiculed.
Right. So it's a bit of a brain.
It's much harder to have any connection whatsoever to Yiddishkeit in a metropolitan area with Jews than it would be.
I hear that. It's something to think about. It's definitely an interesting argument. Very interesting. I think that's interesting.
What about reform? Where would they be going? They're being
interested
the wrong way by
their good. That's a good question. It's a good question. Yeah. I mean, the question is as to how many of them are considered Tinuk Shenishba. Yeah, it's a good question. I imagine how many of them are. Yeah. Okay, let's see what Mishnah Berurah here says. In Moment of Eskrovim, he brings two categories over here. Top line, he says, the Bezeu Kamum Le Kol HaTorah. Somebody, of course, who serves Avodah Zorah, no doubt about it, is considered a Mum Le Kol HaTorah. It's as if he doesn't keep any of the Torah mitzvah. That's self-understood, says the Mishnah Berurah. V'hua Din, and similarly, Im Mum Le Chal Shabbos B'Vayesia. You've got a person who may have a mezuzah on his door, and he made kosher, and he even goes to shul on Rosh Hashanah, but he does not keep Shabbos. And even openly, he's going to drive a car on Shabbos. He's a mumah lechalel Shabbos b'fahesia. Yes, he does keep some mitzvahs, but since he breaches that chilul Shabbos openly, publicly, he's considered a mumah lekol haTorah kula. Chilul Shabbos is very, very severe. Chilul Shabbos, it's considered over his kol, and therefore, even if he were to write the Sefer Torah tefillin mezuzahs, it would be possible. Havalim or mumah leshara veirois. But, however, if it's not Shabbos, or it's not Avodah Zorah, he's a Mumah L'Shara. V'eros Kaimelon, we learn, we pass on the Mumah L'Davar Echad, lo yav Mumah L'Kol HaTorah Kula. Say you've got a person who just has one mitzvah that he just doesn't relate to. Imagine that. Can you give an example? One mitzvah that he just can't relate to. Pardon? Oh, no, that's not going to work. Yeah, okay, that's not going to work. Yeah, good. But... you know what? Sharpness. He just finds that too bizarre. He just can't get himself to bring it to a sharpness test. He just can't get himself to do it. And it is just, so there the halacha is, if he doesn't keep it, if there's one mitzvah that he doesn't stick to, there's one mitzvah he doesn't believe to, nevertheless he's not considered a mumah lekol haTorah kula. He's not considered that he's completely out of the remit, out of the Yiddishkeit. Only when it comes to Shabbos and Avodah Zorah. Shabbos and Avodah Zorah. If he keeps anything else, it doesn't help him at all. Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute. Levad, you're crying about only Mois, Lahachish, the Bazel Deva Echad Dinukukusi. Says the Mishnah, it is a big difference. Depends as to whether a person is doing a separate Avodah, the sharpness man, depends if you're doing Lahachish or Lateovon. If it's a Teovon laziness, that's what we said. If it's just pure laziness, he can't get himself to do it. It's just too much, he just can't do it. It's too lazy to do it. Then we're going to say that he's fine with regards to other mitzvahs. However, if it's lehachis, it's I'm rebelling the Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't have anything to do with sharpness, I don't want to, I don't believe it's lehachis, a merida, rebelling against the Ribbono Shel Olam, then it's considered the moment of kolat HaTorah kula. However, v'yesh machmir and yoyser tzorich knize. Okay, for kol zeh mumah l'shara v'yesh avadim mumah l'tfilin she'ani miniach tfilin. That's your point, Rabbi Kagan, that if he's a mumah l'tfilin, doesn't want to put on tfilin, she'ani miniach tfilin, doesn't put on tfilin. Hafilim eni yoyser zeh le'achis. Whatever the reason is, if he doesn't put on tfilin, possible it's possible. The su eno bakshir, because again, going back to the whole theme of the shir, that is eno bakshir. Somebody doesn't put on tfilin, can't write tfilin. That's the rule. Somebody doesn't put on tefillin can't write tefillin. Just to finish off, the Mishtabur, the poskim, in fact, mentioned that this is not just with regards to the writing of the tefillin. Anything which has to do with the processing of the tefillin, sefer Torah mezuzas, finishing it off, processing it, anything which is an integral part of the making of the sefer Torah tefillin mezuzas cannot be done by somebody who doesn't keep to it. If he doesn't keep to it, he can't. It's possible. Interesting shaila that the poskim ask, and I wonder what you think about it. Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, our chesidsha Taira Yidden who wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, can a Litvisha Yid who does not put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, he just doesn't put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, but he's an outstanding sofer, the best sofer in town, can he write Rabbeinu Tam tefillin or not? The argument being, Einoi Ba'ak Shira, Einoi Ba'ak Siva. He doesn't put on those sets of tefillin, so how can he write those tefillin? What a nice shaila, asked by the contemporary poskim. Very good. And clearly the consensus of the poskim is that, of course, he can, and it's perfectly in order. There are some Yidden al Pikabolu prefer not to, so don't take offense if, definitely al pi halacha, strictly speaking, there's absolutely no shaila because it's talking about the mitzvah of tefillin, and even Rabbeinu Tam tefillin will appreciate that we are ba'ak shira. Right, so just to recap what we learned tonight, we learned the rule of whoever is not a ba'ak shira is not a ba'ak siva. The examples are eved, a slave, isha, a woman, a cotton, a child, even if it's a gyalei chinuch. We learned the kusi and we learned the mula vedes kechovim and informer a moisel anosin, the old apostle, and the reason because the apostle kshartam uchsaftam. We learned about various levels of mumal lahachis and mumal leteovim. We learned the mumal leteovim is a lot more lenient. Mumal lahachis is much worse. And if a person does another avera which is not related to tefillin and is not Shabbos and is a mumal in that avera, but he does leteovim in pure laziness, he will not invalidate his tefillin. And we shall carry on in Mitzvah Hashem. See you base tomorrow.